bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Yes. It's the weekly jaunt through the tech world that's been going on all week, and it's been a fun day today, and a reasonably fun week to week this week. Just before we start, though, I want to make sure that everyone sees. I want a little product announcement here. This is the British Tech phone. Now, this is going to come out running Windows 8. Yeah. I've no idea when it's going to come out at all because it's not finished yet. And I've no idea on the price either. But it's definitely coming, okay? So I just want to get that in before next Wednesday when Apple do theirs. That's mine. That's the British Tech phone, okay?
Well, good. Well done. Well, about the same number of people turn up to this one as the Nokia one, I think.
Well done, Nokia. How to release a product, not. The week is discussed by a great panel. Top left, I've got Mr. James Hart. How you doing, pal?
Good evening. I'm glad to be here because North Circular's a bit broken. Apparently, it sprung a large leak. Wonderful fountain action, but completely snarled up the north of London. Just don't go near London. It smells. Water's washing it. Yeah.
Looking incredibly interesting. I've got no idea why his camera's done that on the main screen. He's Mr. Nate Laxton from the editor of Wired. How are you doing, sir?
I'm very well. At wired.co.uk, otherwise the guy on the print team will hunt me down and shoot me in the head.
Okay. I do apologise.
But I can confirm that London does smell pretty bad, actually.
Yeah.
I live here, and I can confirm that.
Yeah. There's no good parts. Well, maybe Chelsea. Maybe. Next to Nate, we've got the only person I know who talks more and breathes less than Eric Lanigan. It's Kelly Gamont. How are you doing, girl?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me on the show.
No, pleasure. Come on. You got rave reviews, it seems, from the Mac show last week.
Okay. Excellent.
None of the rest of us did, but then we didn't say much, so.
Great.
You're going to get your own show on this network soon enough.
All right.
And edit the rest of us out.
And last but by no means least, Mr. Eric Lanigan. How's it going, Mel?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good, good, good. You had a good week?
Yeah, I got a real cool thing to show you this week. No, none of that referred to last week kind of stuff this week. And yeah, also, I'm excited about the Kindle Fire and the paper white e-ink display.
Well, let's start with that then, shall we? It literally has just finished before we got onto air late. Amazon have had their little keynote thing that they teased out a while ago saying that things were going to change. It's not Glacier. It's Kindle Fire. They've released a whole slew of them. There's a 7-inch and an 8-inch, and there's different memory grades and stuff like that and different pricing. But the smallest one starts at $199. Any instant reactions? Nope. Right.
I still
okay.
can't see one on their website.
You can't see one on their website.
No, when I go to Amazon.com, it says Kindle, the world's best-selling e-reader, $79, and it's all the old ones still.
Oh dear!
That's yeah, they haven't updated the website yet, but they announced this one called the Kindle Fire HD. That's basically a massively upgraded Kindle Fire with it's ever so slightly higher than high-def screen, but on a very small device, which looks pretty cool. And it's probably going to cost about half as much as the iPad. When it comes out here, which is going to give Apple some headaches, I imagine.
Yeah, it comes.
And it's going to have 4G, and it's going to be the dog's doodahs.
Yeah, in the US it will. It won't here because we don't have 4G yet. But it was a really interesting plan. It's like $50 a year, and you get 250 megabytes of 4G data, which isn't that much for a media consumption device. But you also get $10 of Amazon store credit per month, even though it costs $50 a year. And some cloud storage and things like that. It's a very interesting proposition. Very interesting.
It's giving people a portal. This is very much, it sounds like a lot of people are going to think that this is some sort of new, interesting business model. But what this is just the digital equivalent of the Razer handle. I'll sell you a handle. It's the blades that's going to get you.
Yeah,
absolutely. It is basically Amazon trying to get themselves into everybody's pocket. I mean, I've got an Amazon app on my phone, but it's not the first thing I turn to. This is the thing. As you say, even hooking people in with $10 worth of credit to buy, Well, you can practically buy anything from Amazon now, from like a milk to a cow.
Like, well, yeah, stuff. I mean, they're pretty talking much, about one-day delivery as well now. It's all same-day delivery in large cities.
Wouldn't it be cool to be able to deliver it to where you're actually standing? Sorry, go on.
Go ahead, Nate.
I think it'll be quite easy for them to upsell. I mean, when people, if you think about someone who's considering an iPad or they're considering a Kindle Fire HD that costs half as much, ties into Amazon's ecosystem, and for just $50 more, they get, you know, free credit, you know, every single month and you know, effectively free 4G. Even when you factor that in, it's still going to cost like $150 less than what they might otherwise have bought. And I think a lot of people might see that actually is still really good value, particularly if you think about getting $120 worth of credit over the course of that period. I think they'll probably upsell that quite easily.
And the resolution here is, the resolution here is 254 pixels per inch, which comes in very close to the iPad. The iPad comes in at 264 pixels per inch. So it's basically a Retina display.
Based on my eyesight, it was Retina anyway. But
which makes you kind of wonder who's building this? Who's display? If Apple have bought up all of Samsung's displays, who's supplying?
Probably LG.
Yeah.
Probably LG. I would imagine.
Have they got spies then in Samsung's camp that they've stolen away the technology, or is it?
Well, no, not really. It's more that other companies build the Retina display and can just sell it to other people. There may be like contractual obligations that mean they can't sell specific panels to competing manufacturers. But if this is a slightly lower resolution, then that might get around any kind of contract they have in place with Apple. Or they could just go from other manufacturers, Sharp and LG and people like that. They all make these types of displays now.
I mean, what's quite interesting as well is that they're saying that it's available for pre-order today. So as of close of the keynote, you can buy it if it gets it on the website. And it's going to ship November 2nd. So that's very Apple-esque though as well, isn't it? It's not, you know, it'll be around at some point, some price, maybe, perhaps, if we get it right. It's here, it's now, it's ready, it's available. Are they going to sell sufficient numbers here to put a hole in the Christmas stocking?
Yep.
I reckon so.
You reckon?
I reckon so. They have like 20% of the tablet market in the US, just Amazon, so.
Is that inclusive of Kindle as well, though, or is that Kindle Fire only?
No, that's just Kindle Fire.
Wow.
Well, now that's what I'm saying. They came out and said, we're 22% of the tablet market. There's no math that Amazon themselves have released to back that up.
That's right. I know they haven't actually said what the tablet market is, and it could just be the tablet market of the guys in the shed.
If you'd have factored in Kindle, I'd have gone with that in a heartbeat. But Fire alone,
Here's where they're going to get people: is it's cheap compared to the iPad. They're still going to sell the old one, which they sort of refer to as the Fire SD. I guess internally was what one of the notes was that I saw. And that one's going to be $159, so $150. And you, for people who don't pay a lot of attention, they're going to be able to go, you know what? $150, I can give this to the kids instead of my $600 iPad, and it plays Angry Birds. Done. And the other thing I read about it was that it's got profile information. So it's got, you can keep a profile for each of the kids. So if everybody has a different level of progress in Angry Birds or a show they want to watch or whatever, then you can separate those out. And that's, I think, the thing that's going to end up reeling a lot of folks in. One of the things they said was, we have found that the Kindle Fire is huge with parents. And I totally see why, because I would feel a lot better giving my kid a $200 thing and having them break it than a $600 thing and having them break it.
How's it compare to the Nexus 7?
It's bigger.
Yeah.
It's 1 inch bigger. Yeah.
What I was doing is I was just trying to find out, because I want to see if somebody wants to buy a tablet for Christmas, what are going to be the influences to their decisions? It's obviously going to be price, it's going to be size, it's going to be availability, it's going to be, does everybody else have the same thing and share the same applications? Is it something we're used to? You've got the Microsoft Surface, and depending on the price point, I don't know whether that's got any hope at all or a little bit. I think people will pass over that one to get something that they recognize. The Nexus tablet, they are really building up. If you think that the price point of the Nexus is just crazy, and people, I am seeing people with the small 7-inch Android tablets on the Galaxy Tab is that you see them around. Obviously, then you've got the iPad, and then you've got this new one. And I'm just wondering what is going to influence people to buy this one over something else. And I wonder actually if it is this kind of this loss leading thing where, here, have a tablet. And also, if you pay this extra, we're going to give you this load of other stuff. And you don't get that with a Nexus. You don't get that with a Surface. You don't get that with an iPad. And I think it actually might turn people onto it because they will take home not just a tablet, but other stuff, promises of more.
Well, and if you have Amazon Prime, you get access to a lot of stuff on your Fire that you wouldn't have otherwise.
That's
so
mental, isn't it?
If you're already Prime because you don't want to wait for shipping or you like all the free stuff that they will show you on the TiVo or whatever, there's another bunch of stuff that is sort of value added to the Fire as well. On
that is a hell of a grip. Isn't that an amazing grip they've got over their customers? I mean, we go for Amazon Prime, and I don't think my wife would ever not have Amazon Prime now, knowing that she can click a button and within a day it'll be stuck in our wheelie bin by someone from Yodel who pissed off for 20 minutes earlier. Excuse my French.
Don't talk to me about courier drivers, mate, after yesterday. Jordan Bennett.
I'll tell you what, now is the time to become a courier driver because, one, you're going to get a lot of business, and two, you don't have to be that good to get a lot of business.
It was Parcelforce, and the guy...
Also fast.
I rang the Wex, who I'd got the supplies off, and I wanted him to ship it over quickly because I wanted to use it yesterday morning for a 9 a.m. delivery, paid a premium price for it, and it was thwarted by the fact that the lady who was going to be the care of delivery or recipient, their format at Wex doesn't tie up with Parcelforce's format, so it cut her name off the label.
Oh, no.
Like, this really is 2012. It's 100 years since the Titanic sank. You could put the labels right, you know? Just some synergy would be fantastic. And then when he delivered it again in the afternoon at 3 o'clock, I got a phone call off him from the security gatehouse saying, come down and pick it up. I've done my job.
It's absolutely straight up. We've got a Yodel driver who knows not only where we live, but where... This is true. This is a bit frightening. Where my wife works. So if she's not in, he takes it to her workplace.
Oh, that's
good. And then got a little bit arsy because he said, well, I only live around the corner. Why don't you pop by on your way home and pick it up? That's a bit frightening, isn't it?
Wear something revealing.
Did you see that one? There was the one in the US, I'm not sure if it was FedEx or someone, who was like throwing a giant computer over someone's fence because he couldn't get it.
I've seen that. That was here.
I don't want to name drop FedEx, but I think it was FedEx. It was someone it was like
FedEx.
That.
FedEx.
Was it? Oh, you see massive 42-inch televisions just standing outside someone. You know, this is obviously a cardboard box containing a massive telly, and someone's just left it there because they have to leave it.
And if you've got a massive telly at the moment, chances are it's Samsung's.
Hey, nice link.
Now, I'm presuming, I can't see anything on the live blogging that's come across from Engadget, which is excellent. But I presume they're sticking with the Android OS on this, surely. They're not going anywhere else. So, Jelly Bean?
It's a very, very customized version of Android. So it doesn't really resemble Android. It's just, it's probably the most customized version of Android out there,
which may well mean it's got the Amazon App Store and probably not the Google App Store, because Google are very fussy as to who they license their App Store to.
Is that going to be a limiting factor then?
It hasn't been so far, and people will be able to root these devices as well if they really want to. So if people just want the hardware, because the hardware actually is incredibly interesting. Like, there's really amazing specs inside this device, and they're definitely not making any money on this. I'm certain of it. If you root that thing and put top Jelly Bean on there, you've probably got one of the most capable tablets in the market, particularly the 8.9-inch version.
Yeah, I mean, it does look exceptionally good. I mean, the pictures are obviously, you know, I do it for a living as well. The pictures are crystal clear and sharp, but you think you're going to get that out of a modern tablet now anyway. The screens are absolutely fantastic. The only thing that makes me question is I mean, you alluded to this earlier on, Nate. You know, 250 megabytes on your data package is nothing. And equally, £49 a year for that service seems like they've missed a bit of a trick. They could have gone up a bit in price and charged monthly, or given separated plans so you could have the low end and you could have 2 gig for $50 a month or something.
But what
like
you're
that.
Missing there, Ewan, is the fact that they have offered this without saying who their service provider. They've obviously gone in with a deal with a service provider, and I think that's pretty cunning of them, because normally a service provider like O2 or whoever, or in America AT&T, will want to sell their own deal. And for them to do that and badge it as Amazon is pretty impressive.
But that's within the Kindle ethos, isn't it? Because that's what happened originally. You know, you got the 3G card
right, yes,
in it. Was it Sprint that provided that, the data?
Yep.
Yeah. Sprint provided the data, and I don't know whether it was unlimited.
But that
or
was
not.
Only just, small amounts of data. That was
well, this, you were only getting books, though, weren't you? That was the point. Yeah. It wasn't huge amounts. But it's the same principle. They've stuck with the model, absolutely. But I just feel like they've missed a trip because like you said, Nathan, 250 is nothing. Especially
but that's just the bundled amount. You know, you'll be able to go over that.
But at what price?
Yeah, well, that's very true. That's very true.
You know how many?
See, in the gig, 250. The gig on page had 250 gigabytes per month, but that very quickly got changed.
I should hope so.
It's not a. It's a lot if you want to watch movies all the time. If you're like me and you prop your tablet up on the elliptical and walk for half an hour while you're watching TV or something, then yeah, 250. You're gonna gnaw through that in no time. But if most of what you're doing is books. And the occasional game, like once you download it, a lot of them don't go back to the server and generate a ton of traffic. So for a lot of folks, if what they really want is just to read a book with pictures in color, then if that's the way they want to go with this, then they'll never need more than the free plan or the annual plan.
Yeah, I mean, music is coming down at a fair rate as well there. So they get a fair bit of music for that.
Yeah,
not a huge amount. I would have said.
And if you start,
if you consider five mega song, that's only 50 songs a month.
Yeah, but I mean that's the point. Who's going to buy five albums a month? That's you know, you'd buy an album a month, two albums a month, maybe, and then the rest in books. You'd quite comfortably cope with 250. But yeah, one movie.
Now, what about the cloud player?
Say, King Kelly.
What if I'm playing music out of the cloud player? Does that count against my free bandwidth?
I would say that's got to, surely.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, it doesn't count against my storage if I buy it and put it there. So that's why I wonder if it would count against my streaming if I buy it from Amazon.
If you need to get it on your device, I have a feeling you probably would.
Sure, if I wanted to download it, but if I don't, if I just want to play all those Mojo Nixon albums I have in my Amazon Cloud Player, then, you know, are they really going to ding me for listening to Don Henley Must Die 15 times?
Not if you do it the same track, possibly not. If it's buffered, that's fine.
There's got to be an algorithm there that picks that out and goes, okay, just download it.
Sorry.
Just leave it on the device. storage size, 32 gig, enough? Do they need 64 or not?
I've
got a 64 gig iPad and I know, I mean, I don't get anywhere near to filling it. It was the biggest waste of money I've ever had. I've got about 30 gig on there, that's it. And I've got a few movies on as well. So, I mean, it's just a pointless exercise having 64. I won't buy another 64 gig iPad. 64 is the magic number, I think. You filled yours.
Yeah.
I have a 64, it's full.
But, I mean, what, are you carrying your entire music library around with your, you know, 10
films? Oh, nowhere,
20
nowhere
films
near or? All my library, no. Because I still buy CDs and rip in lossless.
Yeah.
So, I don't get very much.
Shot. Oh, right, so you've got 10 songs on there, Nate.
It's about 12 now.
It's a shame it doesn't support FLAC.
Yeah, well, they sound the same, but no, I mean, it does have the iTunes thing does have this handy thing of letting you convert to AAC on the fly when you transfer to the iPad. That's quite useful.
Yeah,
I tend to use that quite a lot. I think what's really interesting, we haven't talked about the on the Kindle Fire thing, is the ability to sync up an audiobook with the sort of quote unquote printed version on the Kindle. So if you have,
that's
say,
cool.
I don't know,
yeah.
I can't think of a book off the top of my head. The dictionary, let's say. If you have the printed version of the dictionary as an ebook and the audiobook version, then if you get to sort of, you know, F and then want to move to the audiobook because you're walking, the audiobook will start from F. I don't know why I picked the dictionary. What a stupid example. But you know what I mean? It will start from the same point.
Well, that's actually why I bought a 64 gigabyte iPhone, was to hold the dictionary ebook and the Audible audiobook, because it just is like, it's like almost a terabyte. And I just listened to that, just walking down the street.
It's great.
Yeah, I mean, chat room saying audiobooks as well. Alex loves his audiobooks. He's got loads on his. Cyber Paul says he's filled his 64, but not with very much music. That'll be an entire show on its own as to what it is filled with, though. Windrider says, yeah, my 32 iPad's full. Too many BTN podcasts. Huzzah. Thank you, mate. And I can't see the last one. Anyway.
Well, I'm feeling like an old fogey here because I'm excited about the black and white text printed display.
Oh, the paper's white.
Not at all the tablet too. Version.
So, go on then, Eric. What does that for you then?
All right, I'm a fan of the other announcement here, the $119 Kindle Paperwhite with illuminated capacitive touch display. I have the, you know, I got the $79 Kindle when this came out last year, and, you know, I've been a huge fan of this. I said it's the best Kindle I thought of any of the current ones. But I kind of stopped using it, and I figured out it's because I don't have a good, like, reading chair that's well lit, so it became a chore to find a light to light the screen. Whereas my laptop, you know, it's backlit, a computer is backlit. So this, I always had to get in front of a light in order to read at night and everything. And I never did buy a light. I bought one lighted case and it was so bad. I took it back, but it was like Amazon's own. It was like $40. So I'm thinking now that even though it is a little bit more, I could probably sell this one. And with the money that I saved by never buying a light for this, I can just upgrade to the new one where it's going to have a beautiful, fully evenly illuminated screen. 62% higher resolution, 25% higher contrast. Would they call it a paper white display? Because instead of being this kind of muted gray color like the Kindles have been, they say it's going to be practically pure white, higher contrast, easier to read. And also not quite a Retina display, but close, 212 pixels per inch, 62% higher than it was before with new fonts and all kinds of stuff. So if you just like reading text like that and an LCD screen hurts your eyes, I think this is a pretty cool device.
But, I mean, you're going to pay a price for that, aren't you? Because, I mean, if you're talking about a backlit display, instantly you're now losing battery power. So, your duration of use is going to go down.
Apparently, it says it has a much longer battery life.
Well, that's impressive then. That's very impressive. But, I would have thought bulky-wise as well.
I keep saying 8 weeks.
Kelly, start. Ladies first. Go on then.
Where? The live blog from Engadget says 8 weeks.
Of continuous reading?
On the Paperwhite. Like, I think what they mean is like use if you use it for a certain amount of time every day or something. But
do you know what I reckon it is? I know what it is.
Go on.
Do you know like you go to Poundland and you buy these little lights that you stick in your garden with a solar panel on it and they never seem to go out. They're always on all bloody night. What happens is if you take it out into the sunshine, it charges itself up. It's like bloody luminous, isn't it? That's how it works.
No. Well,
I've seen their little secret.
No, but I mean, here's some of the things that I think were key selling features of the Kindle. One, it was slim and it was light. And the current one, as you've just said there, Eric, that little tiny one now is flimsily light. It's great. You stick a battery in that, it's got to get bigger. Also, the big feature was the fact that you could take Kindle out and use it in the sunlight, which you couldn't do with an iPad. And now you're saying this Kindle Paperwhite thing, if it's backlit, it's not going to work in the sun. And those were big, big selling features.
Oh, no, it's not backlit.
No.
No, it's got some kind of...
Oh, okay.
It's like a glow, more like a what do they call it? Like an Indiglow, like Timex Indiglow kind of thing. Yeah. Apparently, I haven't seen the others, but apparently the Nook has had this for a while, and some others have had this even backlight that's nice and even, none of that bright spot.
Is it radon? You put it down and your hand still glows.
It's no? called front lit. Is
just
the
don't put it on your lap.
There'll be no more. There won't be any little Lanigans for the future. Oh, enough. Winner, loser. Quick thumbs up, thumbs down. James.
Oh, a tricky one. I would say that the Paperwhite is the next generation of Kindle. Enough said. The Kindle Fire HD. I reckon it will sell if people are hooked into the little marketing strategies, which Amazon are brilliant at,
they are
except
good.
For their wine offers you get when you get to buy something. Always chat them away.
Nate, yours?
Yeah, I think they'll all win, to be perfectly honest. I think they've won already, and the new ones have been winning in the US for a while now. So I think when we see all the kind of excitement around the Nexus 7, people have suggested that they want a tablet. They just want it to be cheaper than the iPad. So I would give it 2 thumbs up.
Oh,
from me.
Oh, blimey. Praise indeed.
Can you beat 2 thumbs up, Kelly?
No, wait. Don't tempt her. Kelly,
that sounds like a trick question.
No. Right, Kelly, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up. I think they've done a lot of things that are obvious. I mean, they always swing for the fences, and it's something that a lot of people don't really give Amazon enough credit for. Everybody looks to what Apple's doing, but not everybody really looks at what Amazon is up to. When Apple came out with iTunes being able to rent an episode of a TV show, Amazon let you buy it for that same 99 cents. And Amazon's been kind of on their tail for a long time. And then now that they've added the frontlit screen on the Paperwhite as far as e-reading for people who want to just have a nice e-reader, then that's pretty cool. They've got the profiles, like I talked about earlier, for the kids and as a device to give the kids instead of the iPad, because I have the iPad and I don't want to hand that over. I think they've got a lot going there, and particularly because they've spent all this time building up market share as a purchase venue. I mean, I don't know how common it is there. It's especially common where I am in Portland, Oregon, because Seattle's just up there and that's where Amazon is. They're 3 hours away in a car and it's a straight shot up the freeway. So it's not like it's even far. So a lot of Amazon stuff, we sort of hear a lot about.
Well, you have to go and get it yourself.
Well, no.
Come on over to the warehouse, kids.
Technologically, they're nearby. So we get a lot of coverage of them because they're the next, Seattle's the next big city near us. So we get a lot of that coverage. And so we hear about this stuff all the time. And I think there's a lot to it. And I think, Amazon's a verb here. And something that's developed in the United States, I don't know how prevalent it is in other countries, is what they call showrooming. So I'll go to Best Buy and I'll touch stuff and I'll go, ooh, I like this Bluetooth majigger. I like that case. I like that phone. And then I'll go buy it on Amazon and have it shipped to my house. I didn't realize it was a verb until, because I just always did that because nobody at Best Buy would ever talk to a girl. other than that, I didn't know it was a thing. And that's actually why Target isn't going to have the Kindle on display anymore, is because people would go to Target and touch them and then go home and buy one off at Amazon. So,
I've never heard it as a verb. Can you use it in a sentence? I'm going to Amazon that product.
Yeah. Like I'll look, wow. Like we'll be looking at some sort of tech, you know, in a store and go, what do you think? I don't know. Let me Amazon it. Let me see how it.
Then again, and to then, be honest with you, Best Buy and Target are both verbs.
Amazon need a laser, like a red laser program then for the iPhone.
They
or
have
something.
It. You can, there's a,
for the Amazon US. Only.
Price check. Amazon yeah, app. I've got that.
The Amazon app will let you scan and it will show you that precise product on Amazon and their price.
Hey, do you know what? There's something really cool about that thing is that you can scan any inanimate object, and if it doesn't recognize it, it goes to humans who find the product. And you can scan things like a pack of cigarettes. And I've seen people who have had things like quit smoking guide books come back for them. Or I took a photo of a cat and it came back with how to care for your cat RSPCA guidebook. Like, it's really good. Scan something bizarre and see what you get back. It's absolutely brilliant.
Oh, sort of like Siri, like Easter eggs.
Yeah,
it's great. Honestly, it's absolutely bizarre, some of the stuff you can do, or taking photos of people you know and just seeing what comes back. It's great, particularly if you've had a beer. It's one of my favorite things to do alone is that.
Right, chat room's on with a bid to come up with a suggestion of things to scan using the application by the end of the night. That
it's a lot cheaper than ringing 118-118, that's for sure.
May not be able to publish this show in the end. Nokia released two Windows 8 phones, and I've got a picture. There we go. They look yellow and red and grey and white and black. And, well, there you go. I mean, there's no price, there's no date, no idea what's going to happen. Steve Ballmer, excuse me.
You're right. Now we can't publish the show.
No. Steve Ballmer said that it was a unique and intuitive interface. And I've got to say, I know Windows 8, Windows 7, Phone 7 got a bit of a kick in, but I had a play with Ian Grant's when I went for dinner with him a few weeks back. And I found it okay. I thought it was actually quite intuitive. I thought it was very responsive. And as an OS, it didn't suck. So
I've not heard of anybody complaining about Windows 7 being Android. Sometimes it grinds to a halt and drives me loopy. No such comments about Windows 7, to be fair.
Phone 7.
Windows Phone 7, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Windows 7, to be honest.
Yeah. Any thoughts about this one to start off with? You know, win, lose, draw, good, bad. I mean, they're all going on about the fact that it's, you know, an 8.7 megapixel camera, which just tops the iPhone by a fraction. And there was a tweet from Andy Anatko that came out yesterday, said this might finally be another mobile provider who cares about mobile photography as much as Apple do. And I just thought to myself, I'm not sure that Apple care about mobile photography. I think they care about selling phones, and photography is a feature that sells a phone, simple as that.
Especially if you consider the advert they put on. Did you see that? Is it in the documentation, the faked advert? Oh, dear.
Oops, and they've had to come out and admit it. I mean, resurgence of Nokia here? Is this the catalyst to bring them back to the front of the phone market, or is it?
Well, we've heard that over and over again. I mean, everyone wants to say this because I think no one wants to be accused of being an Apple fanboy and even a Google Android fanboy. And so everyone's so quick to say, oh, these new Windows phones are great. But, you know, everyone who writes that, I don't see anyone buying these things. I mean, I'll believe that these are a success when you've got significant market share. Just looking at it, I mean, I'm not a fan of that. It looks like a duotone printing, you know, that it's not monochrome. It's like one color plus white. And this is what Windows 8 looks like. It's what their new website, Microsoft's websites look like. I think this is a bad aesthetic. I mean, obviously they're eschewing the rounded rectangles to avoid a lawsuit from Apple there, but yet you've got a black rectangle and a white rectangle. And we know Apple owns design patents on both of those rectangles. They've got pinch to zoom. Apple owns a patent on that. Just one against Samsung on that. So, I don't think that some people are saying that Windows Phone will have a resurgence or a sudden upsurge because people will want to avoid patent litigation with Apple. I don't think it avoids that in a lot of those same ones that they won from Samsung. I'm still skeptical on this whole Windows Phone market.
Anyone else?
I want it to be good. I want it to be easy to use. I want it to be perky and fun and lightweight and solid. I want it to be smooth and not as rough around the edges as what previous Windows mobile experiences have been. At least they're finally smart enough to start doing something like not calling it Windows Compact Edition, which gets condensed down to Win CE, which is kind of what everybody did when they used it.
This is RT though, isn't it? It's got to be running RT.
That's real time.
No. It's the thing about it is that I am already prejudiced against this phone because they're using the same interface that they've already tried to push to me as Windows 8. And on a computer, I hate it. I hated it because I couldn't do anything and there was no sort of assistance to help me figure out what I was supposed to be doing. So I'm already prejudiced against it. I hate this interface on my Xbox. I hated this interface on my laptop. And in fact, ripped it all out, paved the hard drive, and started over again from scratch with Windows 7, which I can actually use. And I want it to be great technology. I'm hoping on a phone, maybe it will be better. But overall, I don't know. I'm already prejudiced against it because I wanted to like it. I thought I'd give it a chance. And they want to give me that same interface everywhere, and it's just not possible. I mean, that's why Mountain Lion looks different from iOS 6 looks, from iOS 5, whatever. There needs to be a gap because of the device you're using. And I'm not entirely certain that Microsoft quite gets that yet.
I mean, there's some comments in the chat room here. Pete says, hateful friggin' OS, which I've got to say I don't agree with particularly. I'm not a user of it, but I found it quite pleasant. Good point about accessibility to a certain degree from Cyberball. White on yellow is low contrast, so for people who are impaired eyesight, that might be an issue. And Alex made a really good point. I can't find now. If Windows 8 Phone 8 is going to survive, then that means that Nokia will be at the forefront of it with this phone. So that's sure. Which is well, a good point. If it goes, it will go.
The first thing is that HTC have announced kind of their 8X, which may well because HTC. If you remember back, before they adopted Android, they were making Windows Mobile 6.5 phones. And that's where their name became known. And I think this phone will only succeed if mobile phone shops, the shops you go in, the car phone warehouses of this world, the phones for you, because people do use those shops, actually say, this is a good phone, have a go at it, have a feel of it. And if some, then it becomes this sort of critical mass of people seeing their mates have got one and they'll pick up one. And if they can get to the stage where enough people are getting it, are having this kind of ecosystem, they'll take off. But I just can't see the market. The market's almost too impenetrable at the moment. It really is, especially with Android activating so many devices. You go into Car Phone Warehouse and I would say 80% of the phones in there are Android phones. It's very difficult to see past them.
Nate, you've been quite quiet on this. I'm interested, mate, as to what you think.
I mean, I like Windows Phone. I mostly started liking it because of the Xbox integration. I think it was the one thing that really separated them from the competition, is that it had this really great integration with Xbox Live, and you could earn achievements and you could, you know, see your friends list and send messages and things like that. And I thought that was really cool. What I like about the new phones is that they actually do feel like they have a bit of personality to them. You know, there's just little touches, like you can change the color of the Windows Phone tiles to match the color of the case on the outside, which sounds really a bit silly and a bit, you know, childish, but it's actually something that no one else lets you do. Like, it does give the phone a little bit of a unique feel to it. And I think Windows Phones, I think it's got momentum, you know, it's building up. It's still not quite there, really, you know, compared to iOS or Android, but it's building up, and I think that I think these new phones are pretty decent. Whether I'd replace my iPhone with it, I don't know, probably not, but it's a step in the right direction.
Cool. There's Booker in the chat room says, I've got Windows Phone 7 on a Samsung, had it for about half a year, got no complaints at all. The OS is zippy on a 1 gigahertz processor. So,
can I say something?
Yeah,
I'm getting bored of my iPhone. I've got a work iPhone and I've got my Android phone. I spend more time playing on my Android phone because it does more cool stuff. I don't, has iOS just stopped? It's just not interesting me anymore.
But they've got come on. We've got 6 days before the new one. You can't wait 6 days to see what they come up with?
Well, I think that's a key point.
I want it now.
I don't want to turn this into the Mac show, but I think that's a key point, is the fact that I'm not sure that Apple are going to do anything special next week at all, apart from maybe add a slightly longer screen on. And that's it, because they've shown everything there is to show about iOS 6 at the last keynote. There's nothing going to come from there. I can't see them putting a dishwasher in this thing. It's going to be just a slightly longer iPhone. And I agree with James. I think the iPhone is getting boring. If there's an interesting thing at the moment, Samsung have said that if you swap over from iPhone, they give you a tablet as well as your phone, and there's a deal going on. And I said last week, if they throw in every application that I've got from the iTunes store that's in the Google Marketplace, if that was an offer, we'll pay for those apps to come over, then do you want to swap over? I'm really tempted. A Galaxy S3 looks an absolutely stunning buy at the minute.
Which is really going to give Nokia a difficult job to sell the Lumia. That's all I'm saying. That's the fact.
Yeah. But then again, it is something different from the iPhone. It does, you know, the iPhone is getting a bit boring.
Have you had an Android phone?
Sorry?
Go ahead.
If you'd spent 4 years with an Android phone, you'd probably be bored of that too.
Well, that's a good point. James, how long have you had an Android phone?
I went from 2.5 years.
Right, and you're not bored with it?
Absolutely. Well, no, because I've put Jelly Bean on it, and it's just as zippy, and it's great. I'm finding my iOS device to be slowing down. It's an iPhone 4, but it's starting to, I don't know, maybe I'm disprejudiced. But the fact is that there are some applications on the iPhone that I cannot get for Android. Downcast is the class leader of podcast downloading app, podcast applications. Tweetbot is currently the best tweeting app.
Yeah.
But they are solid. They are, you know, they are, what Apple does is they do solid, straight down the middle, you know what you're getting, and don't worry about anything else kind of applications. Android is just kind of like wild child, where you just get this weird thing, and if you get a little bit adventurous with it, it lets you get adventurous with it, if that makes sense. Maybe this is just a niche that I'm part of, in that I'm not just a regular phone user. I like to play with my phones. I like to do weird stuff with them, and my pick will probably represent that. Don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I am finding iOS to be boring. Maybe it's me.
No, I think you're right, James. I mean, I think we all expected, or at least had our fingers crossed, that Apple would have come up with a whole new interface for iOS 6. The interface as it stands now is basically unchanged since 2007. So since the first iPhone, it still basically looks like the first iPhone. with minor speed differences and some skeuomorphic stuff. And you know, you got that fabric if you pull it down, all that crazy stuff. And on that same subject, I think Android does have the best interface. I would rather than having that 1960s mid-century modernist thing that Windows 8 is going for, rather than having that skeuomorphic, it looks like leather, it looks like fabric, it looks like you can feel it and it would have a texture thing that Apple's going for. I think Android really has the best science fiction-y interface, where it's like this futuristic, like gradients and transparencies and stuff. I was sad to see Microsoft and even Apple grow away from that. But even beyond that, I was going to say that, you know, it's nice that we have all these new things like the new Kindles and the new Windows phones and all this stuff. But what it comes down to is who can you really recommend all these phones and tablets to? I think we're all geeks here, so we know what we like, and we know that we want things that we can play with and tweak and learn about and explore and all that kind of fun stuff. But for the average person who's still the majority buyer of whether it's a smartphone or a tablet, the average buyer just wants it to work. I mean, I still think the answer is, do you live near an Apple store? The decision's been made for you. You know, if you're not a geek and you need a network of people who know how these things work, or they even live under your same roof and can help you out, your kids or something, you know, everyone knows how these devices work, to the point that Apple may eventually have to be dealt with as some kind of antitrust, is what I'm starting to think even more and more, because they've become Microsoft Windows. It's really hard to recommend to an average person away from the iPhone. What do you get? More apps on another platform? No. What do you get? Cheaper price on another platform? No, especially not with a tablet. Just more choice, more options, more people that have a greater installed base, know how to work it, they can help you with it. I mean, it's really hard to get a regular person away from those Apple devices. And it all comes down to the fact that they're still coming in with the arguably the best prices, especially on those iPads. People are having a hard time competing with the price. So basically, I don't see how we ever get away from the Apple monopoly at this point.
But here, there's two things that are really important to consider here. And first of all, it's people. I generally, on the 2 Out Talk cast, I call them muggles. People who are my family members who go, I heard this on the TV. Can you tell me what it really is? You know, what's actually happening? Yeah, they're less technical people. They're not us. And so, like, the thing that you guys are all complaining about now, while legit for you, is a first nerd problem. Like, this is not something that people are having an issue with. I mean, a lot of people would like for the phone that they get next to not have to be completely different. Remember back in the day before you had a phone that could get email, when every time your contract was up, you were getting something new and you had to learn how to do everything all over again, like set it to vibrate and change a ringtone and how do I get to my contacts and does it have speed dial? All of those things. And then you had to go buy all those new adapters. I need one for the house and one for the car and one for my computer and on and on and on. And most people aren't interested in any of that. Most people aren't us. Most people aren't me. They're not you. They're not people who go, ooh, new shiny thing. Like, a lot of people.
And most people like stability. Most people like the fact that they can buy an iPhone and have the same OS relatively unchanged year after year with guaranteed upgrades. We didn't mention it, but the Windows Phone 8 upgrade, if you have a Windows 7 phone, you cannot get Windows 8, and Windows 8 only applications will not run on that Windows 7 phone. So you can buy a phone today that's already obsolete.
Yeah, and if you use it for the entire, now in America, remember, adorable American over here, with our cute little quaint cellular technology situation, if you buy that phone and it's subsidized and you're chained to it for 2 years, you're going to buy some stuff for it. And when it turns out that you can't carry any of that forward, then, you know, fool me once, shame on me. And so, like, that's a really important thing, I think, that may or may not be considered. That and the fact that we have no idea what Apple's going to tell us next Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, there's a comment in the chat room from Jenks saying, being very dismissive for a group of people who have no idea what's going to be coming on the 12th. And absolutely we don't, but you've got to say, you know, all the leaks and stuff have been fairly accurate so far, and it doesn't look like it's earth-shattering. And he then says, what if iPhone 5 has screens on both sides? I've had mine apart, mate. They're in room, I promise. Absolutely.
Right, picture this.
Yeah.
Bloke comes on the screen, Yorkshireman, cap, buy this Nokia phone, it makes phone calls.
Sold.
What you want. No nonsense, it makes phone calls.
Right, go on, Eric.
Oh, Apple's going to surprise everyone and come out with a Windows 8 phone.
It doesn't make phone calls.
That may be more realistic than you know. James, you wanted to talk about Project Oscar, and you want to, you've got a new word, haven't you, mate? You've invented a word.
I invented a phrase. I invented touchdown currency. There's money you hold in your hand. You just press it against something and it takes your money away. This is an interesting thing.
That's my wife, mate.
Yeah, she takes your money away.
Go ahead, mate. Go on.
What really interests me about this story is the fact that O2, Vodafone, and Everything Everywhere are actually working together on this. They're taking on the Visas and the MasterCards of this world to make a sort of micropayment ecosystem whereby your phone is your wallet. Obviously, I think it's for small-scale purchases. But and three, for some bizarre reason, I'm not entirely sure why, I'm going to have to look into it, haven't subscribed to this. But the fact that these mobile phone companies are working together means that they really think this can work. And I'm wondering if our American cousins have anything like this that isn't run by a bank, apart from PayPal, who aren't evil.
A bank? You
know. Yes, effectively. Sort of. A bank in all but name. But yes, the mobile phone companies, are they doing this sort of thing in the States?
That's hilarious.
That's a no.
Are they doing anything in the States?
Oh, okay. You win at the biggest joke on the tech show today. Honestly, there's just no way on earth. And the reason for that is because people like Square keep coming in and making Visa and MasterCard and everybody all wet themselves already. So, you know, for AT&T and Verizon to agree on anything except we're really glad T-Mobile doesn't have an iPhone is going to be momentous. Trust me, if anybody in wireless in America agreed on anything, you guys would totally be hearing about it because of the sheer unbelievability of such a news item.
There may eventually be an incentive for them, though, because if you think about it, the internet basically abolished cash mm-hmm. payments. And so the internet commerce was largely built on the backs of the credit card companies. And everyone else wants a piece of that now. And you're right, Kelly. I'm not sure why our phone companies here, it seems like they'd be in their best interest, though, even if they said, hey, let's just partner up and together we'll destroy Visa and MasterCard. You kind of think they'd want to do that. But there is so much competition in that space from PayPal, Square, Google, Amazon. I mean, everyone.
Intuit makes their own headphone jack card swiper now. So, yeah.
Yeah, everyone wants a piece of that sale.
But you'd also think that, you know, somebody here would go, anything that makes it look like it would be in someone's best interest, you'd think would be a great idea. And yet, you know, HBO still won't let me pay individually for HBO Go instead of having to subscribe and give Comcast even more of my money, which I don't want to do. So, you know, I mean, I hate to use them as an example, but Starbucks gets it right. And just like Amazon makes it very easy for you to give them money, Starbucks does the same thing. Starbucks will do anything in their power to make it as easy as possible for you to give them money so that you will go there. And Amazon is doing the exact same thing with the new Fires. And you'd think it would be something that a mobile carrier would want to get in on. But then you think about mobile carriers also made it so that you couldn't sync your pictures off your phone when phones first got cameras, because they wanted you to MMS it to yourself so that they got that 50 cents.
And probably it's going to be bypassing the carriers eventually. Maybe that's part of the problem. I mean, I'm just thinking about the Amazon example. I am sure that Amazon will eventually offer a way to directly deduct from your bank account, some kind of debit account like that, like PayPal offers and like PayPal encourages their users to do, because they just don't want to charge. They just don't want to hand over that percentage of every little $1.99 sale on a Kindle or an application to the mm-hmm. credit card company. So I think that may be the next step for Amazon if they haven't done that already, because actually, I don't know.
There's some points here in the chat room that when did the internet abolish cash? Pardon?
I love that line from CL Jenkins.
Chris, when the power
goes out, where's your internet? Where's your internet now, Eric?
Chris.
It's on the phone.
Yeah.
Chris has said Square's device is so terrible. No smart chip support. Makes a really great point here. Swiping cards is the root of most card fraud, which is why America's still rampant with it. And with chip and PIN, we've got so much better with it. But I mean, fundamentally, your government doesn't want you to have cash. It wants you to have everything so that it's traceable, so that there is no ability to start evading tax and hiding income. And it stands to reason that Project Oscar is going to come to fruition at some point, and you will have no cash at some point in the future. It might be 50 years from now, maybe. I don't know. I may not live to see it. But cash will go, and it'll be in my kids' lifetime at the very least. I'm sure.
It's interesting that Amazon haven't got their own financial system. They try to sell me a credit card, and it's a Bank of America card. It's not Amazon's own. They don't have a financial institution that they've either bought into or they own, like eBay owns PayPal. It's kind of odd. And Google owns Google. I don't know if Google has any affiliation with the bank. They've probably got enough money of their own to be able to give it out and take it as required. That's kind of weird. They missed a trick there.
Do you know what's really weird to me? Why we still have checks. Someone asked me to pay them with a check the other week, and I was like, I don't have a checkbook. I haven't had a checkbook since about 1999.
Yeah.
It amazes me that checks are still around.
Well, I've got to say, as someone who works for corporations where it takes an age to get set up as an approved supplier, checks are a saviour. Absolute saviour. I mean, it costs me £2.50 when they pay me with a check, but on the basis that they owe me 15 grand or something, I'll take it. It's fine. I'll take the hit.
It's just so weird. It costs you money when they pay a check.
Sorry? Say again, Eric.
It costs you money when someone pays you with a check?
Yeah, when I pay it into my bank charges me £2.50 for paper. They don't charge me at all for electronic transactions, but anything that's paper, because someone's got to sit and do it. It's the long and the short of it. So that's where the £2.50 goes. But it doesn't happen often.
Kelly? Really have a Star Wars checkbook that says, tell Jabba I've got his money?
Oh, I've still got the checkbook cover. It was leather, and it's got the half Darth Vader helmet on it. And then I had Star Wars checks that went with my Star Wars checkbook. And above the memo line, it said, tell Jabba that I've got his money. What's so weird about that? Because I have boobs in, like, Star Wars? What?
What? Wait, when did this turn into boobs? No, just leave the boobs out of it. Just do the Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's weird that I like Star Wars checkbook.
You've been on our show twice so far, mate, and you've shown your chest both times, so... And now you're bringing boobs up. No one else is bringing boobs up. We're not doing boobs.
It's not. Well, then what's so weird
I'm
about,
still working on mine, if you don't mind.
I mean, come on.
Well, you just assume that we all have Star Wars checkbooks? I mean, come on.
No, I didn't think you did, but I wouldn't think it was weird. I'm waiting for somebody to go, oh, I have Doctor Who checks. My checkbook cover has a TARDIS on it.
I had the first year that Barclay stopped doing black and white checks. Just the colour ones. Woo. Right. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They pick up all of the bandwidth. They're absolutely fab. We love them to bits. They've been looking after us for a long, long time now. The long and the short of it is, if you've got a great idea for a web hosting or website or something like that, you can get yourself set up within 5 minutes. You can have paid for your domain name that you've chosen yourself. You can have bought yourself some basic hosting packages, and they've got a site builder application, which means that you can have a website up and running in under a minute. So literally, within 10 minutes of buying from UK2, you can have something on the net already. You get 20% off your domains if you use our codes. You get a ton of stuff free. There's no DNS management charge for British Tech listeners. And they really look after you. Tech support is superb. I was listening to the web show on the way home from work tonight. And Paul Wheatley was saying that he'd had a little technical issue. He'd put a tech support ticket through. And within 25 minutes, he got a reply. And he hadn't even marked it as critical. He got it marked as just a normal tech support level, low level. 25 minutes, resolution was there, things were back up and running, there was no issue at all. If you're looking to do it, then go to our site, please. Click on the UK2 logo, and that'll take you through to their site. Go back to our site, which will be in the previous open tab, and click on sponsors, and all the codes are in there. Don't put your payment details in till you've typed in all the codes, and your basket will just keep coming down in price with whatever you've purchased, and there you go, you're in. You've got everything that you need to get yourself a presence on the web. UK2 are great. They've really looked after us. Thank you to everyone that's buying stuff from them, because lots of you are buying stuff from them. But just make sure that they know that you're coming through our site so that we get the kudos for it. We don't get a penny off them, but make sure you use the click through. Even if you just want to sign into the account, just use it from our website. UK2.net, love them to bits. Right. It's time for the cool thing. James, what's your cool thing?
Now, having said all I have said about my Android phone and the fun I like to have with it, it keeps going wrong. so So I keep trying various different ROMs I've downloaded off the internet. And one of the main issues when you download a ROM off the internet is you have to do a factory reset to be able to apply the ROM. There is a fantastic application for rooted phones called Titanium Backup, which backs up your entire phone's state, all your applications, all your settings, your desktop icons, so that when you've when you've retrieved your mobile phone from the brick it was, it looks something like it was before you broke it. And so it's a Titanium Backup. Or in all seriousness, if you've got a rooted phone, it's brilliant as a backup device. There are, you can get app backup down. Google will back up your apps for you, but it's the fact that you need your state of your machine, the configurations, the settings of your applications that really do. You don't want to have to add your account onto your Twitter thing every time you rebuild your phone.
That is a pain in the butt when you're running more than one. Definitely. Good pick, sir. Good pick.
Thank you.
Nate, what do you have for us, sir?
What I've got for you. My life was complete the other day because about 150 PS1 games suddenly appeared on the Vita, which has meant that I can play Final Fantasy 6, 7, 8, 9 on the Vita, old things like Destruction Derby, Nightmare Creatures, the original Crash Bandicoot, Cool Borders, all these classic PS1 games that I've been able to buy for about 10p from eBay for the last 10 years, that I can now pay about £4 or £5 for each to play on my Vita, which is, I spent about £60 on PS1 games the other day and felt not ripped off, but like I was embracing 1997 and sort of taking it within myself. It's strangely exciting. So that's my cool thing.
That's very good. That is very good. What classics have you got in there?
Well, I've only played Final Fantasy VII so far, and Cool Borders, Crash Bandicoot. There was a game called Destruction Derby, which has been kind of mimicked in a recent, Dirt? You know the Dirt series on Xbox?
Yeah.
Kind of mimicked in some of those, where the aim of the game is to basically just drive around and smash up other cars. It was basically the first game that sort of did that well on a 3D console, and that's been re-released. So I've just been sitting there like, oh, I remember that one, buy, spent £60 and filled up the Vita's memory card. But it's satisfying.
If you buy them, do you get them back if you get a crash or a loss, or they're in the cloud permanently for you?
They're in the cloud permanently, and they also appear on the PS3. So if you buy, like Final Fantasy VII on the Vita, it's available on your PS3 as well, and vice versa.
So you've been in a cupboard playing that. You're going to.
I've been
very
on a plane playing Final Fantasy VII, which has been my dream for quite a while, to just be able to sort of sit there, lay back, and play Final Fantasy with
uninterrupted.
Wine.
Oh yeah, apart from a drink.
You've won in life. You have
excellent.
Won. You have won life.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Don't forget as well, if you're into your old arcade games and you haven't got a Vita. Midway Arcade on iOS has got all of those classics like Defender and that kind of stuff on it, and they're really cool. Kelly G, what have you got for us, girl?
I have an iPad case, sleeve, pouch holder. I'm not sure what you want to call it. It looks like this. It's from a company that's here in Portland called Grove, and that's their little logo. And what this is made of is bamboo on this side. And then it's got magnets up here, and this is soft and fuzzy so it doesn't scratch the bamboo. And the rest is wool, and then it's all nice and soft inside, really flexible and nice. And what they do is they take a laser cutter. I've actually been to their location. They manufacture all of these right here in Portland. And what they do is they cut some little grooves in the bamboo so that it will flex around, and then they stitch it all together. And I'm not sure how well my camera is getting the stitching on that, but...
Very well.
Just to touch one of these and pick it up and hold on to it, it's a really beautiful hunk of kit. I like it very much. I carry my iPad around in it all the time. I have a really thin plastic case around the back and then a smart cover. It just fits. And this way I can put it in here and toss it in my backpack. I don't have to worry about my iPad being abused. And I like it very, very much. They also make some other things that are very, very cool. They make bamboo... cases for iPhones, and they've also just started a line of leather covers for moleskins. So if you still do anything in an analog fashion, they have something for you there.
You've and got pandas in your house because they'll be out of that bamboo in a moment.
Yeah, do they make sleeping bags?
Sadly, no.
Because that looks comfy.
Bamboo sleeping bag.
That looks comfy.
Yeah, it totally, like, I want a sweater out of just the wool. They also make some other really cool stuff. They have a skate back, which is they take hunks of skateboard and compress it and put all that together. And you can, it's got adhesive and you stick that to the back of your iPhone. It's a nice little protectionary thing. They're really, really cool. They work with artists and they have laser engraving on the back. And if you ever get an opportunity to see what it looks like when they engrave with the laser onto the wood or onto the leather for the cases, it's very, very cool stuff. They're so the nicest guys. It's such a friendly company. I've written them up a few times on 2Off for different things that they've announced, and I've never seen anything there. It's really nice because I get to go down there and pick everything up and hold on to it and touch it and how does it feel and how does it work. And everything they make is just beautifully crafted, and it's all done by hand, and it's all done, which is important to me anyway, it's all done here in the US. They don't ship that stuff off to China. So sometimes it takes a little longer to get your case, but it's totally worth it. So their site is grovemade.com. And if you don't have an iPad and you just want to check out the iPhone cases, that's pretty cool. They also have, like I said, the moleskin notebook covers that are laser engraved into leather, and everything they make is all fantastic. So
excellent.
So lasers.
Excellent.
You have me at lasers.
Freaking lasers.
Yes.
Wind Rider in the chat room says, my bog seat's made out of bamboo.
What's a bog seat?
What's a bog? You figure it out, Eric. A bog seat.
Like a toilet seat?
It's there we go. See? You're educated, mate. You're bog. Educated.
That sounds like a chair you'd sit in to just like sit and wallow in a swamp.
No, it's a chair you sit on to defecate.
Isn't a swamp called a bog? But I did want to ask, why is bamboo such a sustainable material? I keep seeing, like, I just read the other day something about how all these sustainable green houses and stuff are using lots of bamboo. Does it grow extra fast or something?
Yeah.
Yep. And it's plentiful. And, like, even if you don't want it to grow, it will grow anyway. Like, it's really hard to screw it up.
And it's annoying. So you want to cut it down.
Why is it annoying?
Because it grows so fast and it gets everywhere.
I don't know. My girlfriend grows bamboo in her garden.
This is England, though, mate. Be fair, the climate's not helping.
You don't need fences then, do you? Just have your bamboo growing along the outside of your garden. You're good to go.
Yeah, no, bamboo splinters, mate. Oof. They're terminal. You'll never recover.
That used to be a thing that people would talk about as like a form of torture, is the bamboo under the fingernails. So, yeah. It's not pretty.
I'm not coming in your iPad case.
No, it's
booby trap.
The case. They're beautiful. I love their iPad cases. I love their iPhone cases. They slide. You can put everything in. Their stuff is awesome. They're super, super nice. I literally cannot say enough nice things about them. They're lovely. And everything they make is beautiful and well-built. Even if it's not necessarily your thing, like, this isn't necessarily my aesthetic, but I got one because it's really well-built. And now, you know, I know if I put my iPad in there, it's safe.
Girl, it's just stitch wool. Steady on. Steady on. Let's not gush too much. Eric, what have you got for us, pal?
All right. I've got a really cool program. I mean, this is I'm so proud of this one because this is like what the cool thing segment is supposed to highlight. These little apps that no one else knows about that are the product of like a day's worth of research, and you finally find one and you're like, it's only $2 and I can share it with the world. It's actually $2.99. This is the Mac App Store. If you're a Final Cut Pro video editor, or you edit on a Mac, or you edit or you do anything with MKV files, you know, the most common format now that you download, like TV shows, are all MKV. Blu-ray that are ripped, they're all MKV. But if you try to edit or bring those into an editing program, you can't, especially if it's QuickTime-based. QuickTime hates MKVs. Parian never even let it work with MKV. Compressor, all that Final Cut Pro universe hates MKV. So on the Mac App Store, a program called MKV2M4V, MKV the number 2M4V, it's $3, and it works like a dream for this. You can actually see my review is on the bottom there. I'm the only review for this current version. I gave it 5 stars. You can drag and drop an MKV file onto here, and especially for HD video, it will basically do a lossless rewrap of this file in a way that QuickTime and QuickTime-based apps like iMovie, Final Cut Pro are happy with. It can turn the audio, I think it reads DTS and Dolby, all kinds of each of those, the HD as well as the regular. It'll transcode that either as AC3 pass-through or AAC or Apple lossless. And Apple lossless actually works great with Final Cut Pro 10, I found out. And the video, here's the best part, the video is untouched. As long as you have H.264 video, it passes it through without any re-encoding whatsoever. So perfect quality, lossless conversion. You can edit these things, cut them up in QuickTime, whatever you have to do, put them into your project, your documentary, show a clip of something off of the TV or wherever you need to do. Rip a DVD, put it in. MKV2 M4V for Mac on the Mac App Store.
Excellent pick. Excellent pick. I've just started downloading it, so... Haha, well done. $199 in the UK if you want it. My pick is Logitech's little keyboard that goes with your iPad. It's the ultra-thin keyboard. It works on a magnet, so you've got the same kind of spine connection that you have on your iPad standard cover. But what's nice as well then is you've got the little groove, and the groove's magnetized as well, so it holds the iPad in, and then you have a nice little typey keyboard thing.
Wow.
And
is it in a Transformer Prime?
Shiny black, and the keys are little cross jobbies, the little cross press ones. They're not they're not nasty bobble things, so they press and type really, really well, even if you've got a big set of pork sausages like I have. Absolutely wonderful thing, really good protection as well. Charges on micro USB. I've had it a week and love it.
That's cool.
How is it to type?
It's like the Apple keyboard. It's they're cross, you know, the scissor things for the keys.
No, I just mean like the width. Like when you, if you sit and want to type at it for a while, is it comfortable?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could see myself if I wasn't. I mean, I carry my laptop because of video and photo editing. But if I was going somewhere for a meeting for a day and I just wanted this for take notes or something like that, instantly, it's perfect. Do all my emails on it, not a problem. It's £99, so it's not particularly cheap. But it's good. It's seriously good. And what's really cool is it's got a little home button look there. So if you want to get back to your home screen, you press that and you don't have to press the one on this thing.
Oh, because you could tip it over if you hit the one on the device.
Yeah.
But that's cool. That's going to give them the Microsoft Surface keyboards a run for their money. Well, did you say, are each key physically smaller than like the MacBook Air keys?
Yeah. I mean, if you look here, there's, yeah. I mean, the MacBook Air's got a 10-inch keyboard, hasn't it? Same as that one. So there's the size comparison. Look, it's not a million miles smaller.
It's a little bit smaller. So here's my case and here's my external keyboard side by side that you can't see because I'm being blocked on the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I hold them to the side, then this keyboard is a wee bit wider than the other.
Yeah, it's about an inch difference.
So if I get like that, then yeah, you can see it's just a smidge smaller, but it's dramatically smaller on the screen.
It's really hard to get it in.
But you have to have, it would be a lot wider than the screen keyboard. It's not that much different from the Apple external, which is something I've been considering because I have a couple of conferences I'm covering later this year for Atua, and I'm looking for a way to not have to huff my laptop around all day because the battery life isn't the greatest. So I'm always on the lookout for a new awesome keyboard.
What's nice about this is it's got the piano finish on it. It looks really cool. But look, that's magnetized. So when you put it in the groove... There's a magnet in the groove. There you go.
Wow.
So it stops it coming out. I mean, if you give it a good shake, it'd probably manage to come out, but there you go. It's in there.
Is it battery powered?
There you go. It's a Bluetooth job. It's rechargeable battery inside. You charge from micro USB there.
Oh, okay.
There we go. And I spilled it. I said I would. Never mind. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Hart?
The usual place, which is Syzygy on Twitter, SYZYGY.
Yeah, excellent, mate. Nate, where are you, sir?
I am at, well, obviously I'm at Twitter, Nate Langson, but also at wired.co.uk. We do a podcast as well. Good. Conveniently enough, called the wired.co.uk podcast on iTunes.
Go listen to it. Thanks for coming on, sir. You'll come again, I hope?
Thank you.
Will you come again?
I would love to come again. Absolutely, yeah, yes. I thought you said that, can I get a high five? And I was about to high five the screen, but...
I'll do it if you will.
yes, I'd be delighted to come back, absolutely.
Great. Kelly, where are you, Mrs.?
You can find me shooting my mouth off all over the place. for the month of September, I'm hosting Tuwa TV Live, which is a show that we record at 5 p.m. Eastern U.S. time on Wednesday afternoons. I generally can be found either hosting or... participating on the Tuwa Talkcast at 10 p.m. Eastern on Sunday nights. And I occasionally guest host on Angry Mac Bastards. I'm a guest on the International Mac Podcast. And you can always find me on Twitter as Verso.
When do you get time to sleep?
In there somewhere. I live in Portland, so I have access to a lot of exceptional coffee.
Good, 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 good. And Eric, where are you, mate?
I'm at ericlanigan.com and twitter.com/EricLanigan, ERIKLANIGAN.
You can still spell your name as well. Good man. We'll be back again next week with the big show as normal, same time, 8 p.m. on a Thursday-ish. What you can do, though, is come and see us before that. If you want to go to the George Inn near London Bridge on Wednesday night from 5:30 onwards, the London Mac User Group will be running a special event to deal with the iPhone 5 when it comes out. There'll be live blogging on the screen, and also we'll be doing a podcast live from there with instant reaction as it comes in. Will Green's going to be there as well. I'm going to be there. There's a pile of other people. Steve Neighbour's going to be there. I'm sure Alex Fox is going to put in an appearance as well. Sarah's probably going to come, and Carl's definitely coming. And we're going to welcome in the new iPhone 5 and drink a load of beer. But the drinking a load of beer is going to happen regardless of whether it's a good iPhone or not. So come along if you possibly can. That's the George Inn near London Bridge. And if you go out in the little paddock area outside, it's got the best view ever because the Shard is like right next door. Beautiful. See you next week. Thanks for listening.